Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It's a powerful scene, a wonderful sign. Jesus is physically present there in one of the most difficult times in a person's life, and that is the death of a loved one. But Jesus is not some bystander viewing the scene from afar. He's not a rubbernecker trying to see what the commotion is all about. He's not somehow at a distance and removed from sin, from suffering, and from death. No, he's right there in the middle of it. As true man, Jesus experiences firsthand the death of a loved one. His reaction to sin and suffering and death are righteous. He weeps. He mourns. In fact, he's even angry by what sin has done to his creation. Jesus is no stoic, void of emotion or feeling. His very spirit is stirred over the mess and the sorrow that he sees. As true God, Jesus is the one who has the power and the authority over sin and death. And here at the tomb of Lazarus, he reveals the will of the Father who sent him, and the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, when he stands there and he literally undoes death. We see Jesus as the Word of God made flesh, who dwelt among us, and who speaks the Spirit-filled Word. He calls those things which are not as if they were, and he brings even life out of death. He is the perfect prophet who raises a decomposing and smelling man with the command of his word, just as he had done through the voice of the prophet Ezekiel in the valley where the bones of the dead were joined together, covered with sinew and muscles and flesh, and then brought to life. We see Jesus who has come to undo death. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if we see Jesus, who is the one who has come to undo death, then we should also see death rightly. It should be seen in the proper perspective. Let me tell you this. There is no such thing as a good death. Death can never rightly be called good. The death of a saint is blessed or precious in the sight of God, but only ever and in the light of Christ Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. Death? Death, however, is the enemy. Death is what Jesus has come to put under his feet. Death is the wage of sin, and it is paid to all, regardless of age, social status, nationality, or gender. Death is not good. Just because all are subject to death does not mean that death is natural either. That, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is a deception of Satan. The Word and Spirit convince us that what God has intended to be natural for humanity, he intended and created us for eternity, body and soul. He intended for his creation to eat from the tree of life in the garden. Death? Death only came through deception, distortion, and disregard for God's word. God really say? It's no surprise, but our culture is so confused by death. We don't know what to do with it exactly. On the one hand, we try to do everything that we can to avoid it, of course, right? We try to eat healthy foods. We try to exercise 7 days a week, maybe. When we find ourselves getting sick, we go to the store and we pick up some over-the-counter medicine so that we might feel better, relief from the symptoms. And if that doesn't work, then we go see the doctor or the specialist so that we might receive more medicine, more treatments. Why? Well, because we value our lives, don't we? We want to recover. We want to live. On the other hand, there are those who think that death might be something to hasten. If there's a child who is unwanted or unplanned for, they can be killed. If an adult or an older person is not able to care for themselves because, well, they suffered an accident, they've had a debilitating disease, or maybe they're just getting so old, there are some who advocate ending life. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, death is never good, no matter how it comes. Tell you the truth, though, I think the thing that challenges the statement is the personal experience of watching a loved one suffer before death. It's the experience of watching a loved one suffer that causes us to question, well, boy, gosh, wouldn't it just be better if they were dead and at peace with the Lord? I know some of you have asked that question. I've asked that question. I'm sympathetic to that. I don't want to watch a loved one suffer. Death does truly end the suffering, but that still does not mean or make it good. For Jesus never intended suffering to end in death. He has said so himself. Our gospel reading for today brings us to John chapter 11. When the friends of Mary and Martha come to inform Jesus that Lazarus is sick, Jesus tarries 2 days longer. And he says, this illness does not lead to death. It's for the glory of God, so that the Son of God might be glorified through it. When Jesus finally goes into Bethany, 4 days after Lazarus has died, he says to Mary, your brother will rise again. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. When Jesus saw Mary and Martha and others weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and he was greatly troubled, the scripture says. And he said to them, where have you laid him? They said, come see, Lord. In the reading that we didn't have for this day, we hear Jesus wept. When Jesus sees the death of a loved one, he weeps. That is the good and right thing to do when we see death, to weep, to mourn. It says that he is also greatly troubled, not just greatly troubled in the fact that well, this is bothering me or something in the sense of, well, there's death and I can't do anything about it. He's not filled with sorrow beyond hope. He is, in fact, righteously angry over what sin has wrecked on his creation. The wages of sin is death, and death is not good. These things are recorded for us that we might believe that Jesus has come to undo death. And to do that, Jesus doesn't just call one or two people from the grave. Jesus, in fact, suffers death for us, for you. He allows nails to be driven into his feet as he's stretched out upon the cross. He will crush the ancient serpent, the deceiver, the one who said, well, did God really say? But in the process, Jesus' heel will be struck. So too will his hands. Jesus suffers. He's mocked, he's rejected, he's spat on, he's beaten, whipped, and crucified. All this at the hands of the creation he so dearly loves. A creation who thinks that death is good and that death is natural. The Romans thought that justice was being served in the crucifixion of Jesus. The Jews believed that it was better for one man to die than for the nation and the whole for the nation than the whole nation suffer. All the while, in the midst of the suffering and the pain, Jesus, nailed to the cross, cries out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Forgive their sin. No death is good, brothers and sisters in Christ, except for one. The death of Jesus is the only good death, because through his death, he undoes death. Through his death, Jesus redeems his creation from that curse of sin and death. The death of Jesus is the only good death because by it, he literally puts death under his feet. He enters into our grave, and on the third day, he is raised to life. In fact, Jesus is, as he said, the resurrection and the life. After the disciples witness this. Lazarus, who is called from the tomb, sees this as well. They are present to see that death is not going to hold Jesus. For 40 days after the resurrection, they see Jesus and they give testimony to the fact that he is alive. They were present when Jesus bodily ascended into heaven, and they proclaimed from that time of Pentecost on, Christ crucified and risen, as they waited in hopeful expectation for the risen Christ to bodily return from heaven and bring about that wonderful picture that we found in Ezekiel 37, that resurrection on the last day. The resurrection on the last day that Martha and Mary and Lazarus all hoped in. Brothers and sisters in Christ, to be sure, we are still waiting for that great and glorious day when the Lord comes again to raise all the dead. As we wait for that day, the church has work to do. We continue to proclaim the crucified and risen Christ, publicly from this pulpit and in the pulpits of your own vocations. Through that proclamation, our proclamation, the church's proclamation, comfort is given to those who mourn over death. Strength is given to those who are weary with grief. Hope is enkindled in those who feel that all is lost. And as we wait, the Lord is at work in us. As we wait, we receive from the Lord his word and his spirit, which bring us the forgiveness of sins and life and salvation. Beginning in your baptisms into Christ's death and resurrection, he has drowned you, washed your sin, and he has raised you to new life in him. He has marked you as his dearly loved child and restored you to a loving relationship with the Heavenly Father. And he has promised, even in your baptism, that if you have been united with him in a death like his, you'll certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Through the water and the word, the Holy Spirit has enkindled faith in you to believe that Jesus is the Christ who has come into this world. This Christ who has come into the world is the same Christ who speaks to you in the words of absolution every Sunday. I know I'm the one who is saying the words, but they are the Lord's words which I speak, not my own. The true and prophetic words, like God gave to Ezekiel to speak, to bring life to the dry bones. He is the one who forgives your sin as you confess it. And as you hear his forgiveness, you are brought back to your baptism, dying again to sin and living again in Christ. For where the forgiveness of sin is, there is also life and salvation. And that is what is offered here at this altar. Christ's true and living body and blood for the forgiveness of your sin. As you eat and drink in repentant faith, Christ, the resurrection and the life, is literally living in you. For where there is Christ, there is life and salvation. See, Jesus has come to undo death. And he comes to us in word and sacrament. He deals with the root of death, of sorrow and anger. He deals with our sin and provides for us forgiveness, life, and salvation instead. He has come to undo death. There is a day, however, brothers and sisters in Christ, that the church, that we look forward to. A day when the Lord will no longer come to his creation in word and sacrament, as he does now. He will come, as we have confessed, from heaven to judge the living and the dead. Jesus will descend bodily from heaven. And on that day, death will be undone. The graves will be opened. At the cry of command with his word, Jesus will command the graves, all the graves, to be opened. The graves of mothers, fathers, children, grandparents, no matter if they have been buried the day before or 1,000 years ago, the dead will be raised. For those who have been baptized into Christ's death and his resurrection, those who lived in faith to Christ, the resurrection and the life, for those who ate and drank in faith the living body and blood of our Lord, then death will finally be undone. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and when the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Well, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He has come to undo death. Until that great and glorious day, brothers and sisters in Christ, we wait. We wait with the present reality of sin and death still battling against us and against Christ's creation. When someone dies, we will mourn the death of our loved ones. But because of Christ, we will mourn with hope. For the promise of Christ's presence comforts us in our sorrow. The hope of the resurrection of life yet to come strengthens us in our weakness. And as we wait, we'll proclaim Christ crucified and risen with a prayer that those who hear will also believe. For Christ has come to undo death. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our victor over sin and death. Amen.